The scripture reading for this morning is taken from John chapter 20, starting in verse 19, if you want to turn there. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is the word of the Lord. This morning it's our privilege to be able to welcome Quinn McGarvey to our church. She's already been here for a few days. You can come on up, Quinn, if you'd like. And Quinn has been serving as an international worker with the Christian Missionary Alliance in the country of Japan for the past four and a half years. And her father and mom were in ministry with the Christian Missionary Alliance and pastoral ministries in two churches, one in Delaware and one down in Raleigh, North Carolina. And so, Quinn, we want to welcome you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Well, good morning. I have really enjoyed this weekend, enjoyed the time with the kids and the women and the missions committee and the youth. And those things that you said were really touching to me. So thank you. That was really encouraging. And thanks for the little skit. I was warned that there would be a skit, and I was ready for it, but I didn't know it would be so encouraging. So thank you for that. And I've just been really thankful to be able to spend time and meet with so many of you, and you guys have just, it's really apparent that your church has a heart for the nations. And for you are obviously have sent a lot of people all over the world. And so thank you. Thank you for giving for the many international, the 700 plus International Workers Alliance and international workers around the world. I just want to say thank you. We truly wouldn't be able to be there without you. And we definitely wouldn't be able to stay without people like you guys giving to the Great Commission Fund. So thank you. And thank you for praying. We also wouldn't be able to be there without your prayers. And I promise we really do feel them and they make a difference. So thank you for that as well. And I also just want to say thank you to the Smithburgers who have been hosting me this weekend. It's been fun to look out their windows and see the cows. And I grew up more in the chicken farm land rather than the cow industry, and so it's I've never been around so many cows in my life, but it's been fun. So I want to first of all kind of give you a quick overview of just what I'm doing in Japan, so you can get a glimpse of that and what the Alliance is doing in Japan, And then I have a message that I believe that the Lord has given that I want to share with you as well. So first of all, I want to stop and pray and ask the Lord to meet with us here. So God, we just thank you that you're always present with us. But we, again, just want to acknowledge, Holy Spirit, that you are here and you are working. God, I just thank you for just your work in each one of our lives. I don't know everyone's story, but I know that you're working and that you are a pursuing God. Thank you for your love, not only for each one of us, but your love for people in every corner of the world, that you showed your love for us by sending your son Jesus to die a death that we deserve to die, but instead we now have the opportunity to live because of Christ's victory over death. And so thank you, Lord, for that gift and the gift of your Spirit. God, I do pray that this morning you would use me, speak through me, and that we would leave having heard from you, God. So, Lord, we just thank you that you want to use each one of us and that you, delight in that. And so, God, again, I just thank you for your presence here. Pray your blessing over the remainder of this day. Just ask for your anointing over this time. In Jesus' name, amen. let's see if this will work. Oh, yeah. Okay. I don't know if you can see it very clearly, but I live in Sendai, which is just north of Tokyo that you can see on the map, hopefully. It's about 5 hours by car. By bullet train, it's 1 hour, so it's pretty fun to ride the bullet train. And I lived in Tokyo my first 2 years. I went to language school. I came to Japan knowing absolutely zero Japanese, so I'm still in the lifelong learning process of learning Japanese. And it's a hard language, so please pray for all of your international workers who are learning a language, because it's tough. But I moved to Sendai 2 years later after language school, and I moved to Sendai in order to be part of a new church plant. So Japan itself is 126 million people. Tokyo has 37 million people in the metropolitan area of Tokyo, so it's the most densely populated city in the world. Sendai is a mere 1 million people. Up until a couple years ago, there was no Alliance church in Sendai, so we went up there and started one. And when you move to a new city and you don't know anybody, you have to first start by meeting people, right? So we do have done a lot of things to try to interact with the community. This is also a lunch after church. Our church is called, I didn't mention that, our church is called Freedom Life Sendai, or Freedom Life Church, sorry. Freedom Life Kyokai is what it's called in Japanese. This goes fast. Okay, so we do some stuff with just trying to engage the community through cafe, English conversation. We all love coffee, so there's a lot of coffee involved in all of these things. So this was at my coworker's house. They're hosting a coffee and fondue party, I think, that day. I think it was a Valentine's Day party, actually. So we had the opportunity to share about the love of Jesus. This was a see you later party that they threw me before I left to come back to America for this year. It's been fun to meet a lot of people in the community, but a lot of that is done through English, sports, various aspects. And this guy in the white, his name is Tomo, and he is the first person that we saw come to Christ in Sendai, so we're excited about that. You can be praying for him to continue to grow in his walk with Jesus. This is slightly off-center, but this guy in the middle, I've never met him, but shortly after I came back, one of my coworkers got an email from a guy who lives 4 hours away, who's the guy in the middle, and he said, I've been researching Christianity on my own, reading the Bible, and I don't know any Christians near me. I don't have any churches near me that I can tell, and I want to be baptized. So he drove 4 hours to be baptized in this river in Sendai by some of my coworkers. Of course, since he lives 4 hours away, he can't come to church very often in Sendai, but we're trying to, they are working with him and in discipleship and trying to get him plugged in and maybe some fellowships that are closer to him. But yeah, that's exciting as well. So that's just a brief overview. I will be answering all of your questions later after the service in the time that they have set aside for question and answers. Hopefully I have the answers, we'll see. But I even got a really good question from the youth yesterday about what's my favorite kind of cheese. So I will take any kind of question, I like those too. So yeah, but this morning I want to share a little bit about what it means to be present. So the Alliance this year has given the mission's emphasis theme, and it is be present. And I like that. I think it's a very simple concept. It's a very, you know, you can go a lot of different ways with this, but I think it's just pretty straightforward too, right? Like, be present. Wherever you are, be present. That is what we are called to as believers. When I was preparing to go overseas with the Christian and Missionary Alliance, one of the things that they require of most of their international workers is for you to go and get 2 years of ministry experience in the local context in America. So I actually went to move to Omaha, Nebraska to work with international students, which was really fun. And also to be part of a church plant that was happening there. And one of the things that I was required to do during that time was fill out like a monthly report that I had to send in to the powers that be, and just to share what I was doing and what God was doing in that area. And they asked one question on this report that I actually really loved, and I still like it, so I'm going to share it with you. That question is, how have you seen God using you to bring a meaningful, impactful presence to your church and community? I like this question because it's not just like, how many people have you converted? Or it's not just it's deep. It's a deeper question. It's asking about not even what you're doing, but how is your presence making an impact? And so I often would think about this question, and it really impacted me and the way that I lived my life there in Nebraska with international students and refugees. And so I wanted to share that with you today. But I like a few things about this. It implies that we are in our church, serving in our church and community. And it implies that God wants to use you, and he desperately wants to use you. And it also implies that that our presence can make an impact if we are intentional about the way that we are present. So today I just want to share two very simple things that the Lord has taught me about how to make a meaningful, impactful presence, or how to be present and be, how to have a meaningful, impactful presence. And so this is by no means an exhaustive list. I'm sure God has probably taught you some different things than he's taught me. But I just want to share these two things that I feel like God has laid on my heart. So the first is, having a meaningful, impactful presence requires intentionality in prayer and with people. So we see in Scripture that Jesus was he was intentional about everything that he did, right? I don't have a time to really get into this scripture, the whole thing, the whole story, but if you know the story in John 4 of the woman at the well, you know that we don't know this woman's name, and it could be because she was a woman, and at that time women were second-class citizens, or it could be because she was from Samaria, and the Jews and Samaritans did not get along, but and so much so that Jews would go around Samaria in order to not come in contact with Samaritans. But Jesus, as we see in this verse, it says Jesus left Judea and departed again for Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town called Sychar, of Samaria called Sychar. And so just that intentionality, Jesus had to pass through Samaria. And if you know the story, you know that Jesus changes this woman's life just by having a conversation with her. And she goes there then and tells her entire community about this interaction that she had with Jesus because he was present with her. So he changes her life because he was intentional about where he was. And I believe that he was obviously led also by the Spirit. And he, being God and man, was also in connection with his Father God and with the Spirit that was living in him. And so I believe that we can learn a lot from this as well. So I just want to know, I guess my question is, how are we intentional about our lives in prayer and with people? Are we waking up in the morning and asking God, where do you want me to go? I mean, of course, we have jobs and we go to school, and so oftentimes we have certain places that we need to be, and there's things that we need to get done. But I think God delights in the fact that we can ask him, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Help me to see the people that are in front of me. Are there people that you want me to be praying for? How can I be present? And where are you working? I had a professor who suggested that a really good way to pray is to ask him, Lord, where are you working? And then you just go join him there. I mean, of course, the Lord is always working, but where are you working? If you know the idea of a person of peace, and that God is sometimes like working in someone and they are very close to coming to know the Lord, then you want to partner with the Lord and where he's drawing people in. And so asking the Lord and listening, we spent some time with the youth yesterday listening, just asking God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? And just seeing if he had something to say about that. And so I think it's always good to ask. I've found that my most effective prayers are actually when I ask the Lord, who do you want me to pray for or intercede for right now? Often he'll bring to mind a person. Not always, but often I'll think of a person's name, or a person will come to mind, and it's not natural, it's not a person that I would naturally think of. And so I just assume, okay, maybe that's who God wants me to pray for, and I pray for them. And often I find out later there was a reason why I needed to pray for them. And so here's a scripture in Romans. I'm sorry if it's hard to read. It might be a little small. So in Romans 8:26, it says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So the Spirit is interceding for us. And if, and actually I want to share one more scripture, just a few verses later in the same chapter, in verse 34, it says, "Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." So we see the Son and the Spirit interceding to God the Father on our behalf. And so my thinking is, if they're currently interceding for people, and they can be interceding for people all over the world at the same time because they're God and they can do that. God is three in one. And so if they're interceding to the Father on our behalf, my question is, okay, God, what are you praying for? I just want to pray what you're praying, because I think that might be more effective than just praying always what I am just guessing. I mean, you know, we can pray about whatever we want, whenever we want. Of course, the Lord loves that. But I also find that it's really effective to ask him, what are you praying for? How should I be praying? And so that's just what I've found to be effective. But I really want to grow in this. And so one day when I was in Sendai, maybe a year and a half ago, I woke up in the morning, and I don't do this every day. I should, and I wish I remembered to, but that particular morning, I was like, okay, God, I really want to serve someone. I really want to meet someone that I can just share your love with. Help, just direct me. And so again, this doesn't happen super often, but I had a picture that I would have definitely never naturally thought of in my mind. So I just assumed, okay, this might be from God. And the picture that came into my mind as I was praying was a picture of a coffee shop. Yeah, like I said, we love coffee. A coffee shop I had never been to. And there was a man in this picture, and he was wearing a black and white hat. And I knew what coffee shop it was in Sendai. I had never been there, but I just knew, oh, this is Northfields is the name of the coffee shop. And so I thought, okay, I have time. I'm going to go and just see what happens. Maybe there's a man in a black and white hat. I don't know. But it didn't hurt to try. So I went, and on my way, I took the train down to downtown Sendai, was walking about 15 minutes to this little tiny coffee shop. It's like one room, basically. And as I'm on my way walking there, I suddenly remember, wait, I live in Japan, and they speak Japanese. And then I was like, Lord, if you want me to share the gospel in Japanese, you're going to have to empower me, because at this point in my language learning, I can't do that without you. So I was like, Lord, give me the gift of Japanese tongues. Like, I need something. And so I go with a little bit of fear and trembling. And I order this is the cup of coffee and the little pound cake that I ordered, and I was enjoying it. I mean, obviously I was taking pictures of it, but I forgot why I was there. I like completely forgot, like, oh yeah, there's a purpose of why I came here. And so suddenly I remembered, and I like, again, it was a very small coffee shop. So I just like glanced around, and there's like maybe three or four other women in there, but there's no men. No one's wearing a hat. And I was like, oh, okay, well, guess that wasn't from God. But a few seconds later, a man comes out from behind the counter, and he's wearing a black hat with white writing. And I was like, oh, okay. So, but then he gets a little closer, and he starts talking to me, and I realize he's from England, and he speaks English. So I felt like God just lobbed me a little softball. Don't be offended. I did play softball, so I'm not implying that it's super, super easy. But I used to be offended when people would say that. But I was when he started coming over to me, I was like, all right, well, guess this is the time. So I said, can I share like a weird story with you? And he was like, sure, sure. So I introduced myself, told him I'm a Christian. I pray, and this morning I was praying, and like, and then I shared this whole story that I just shared with you. And he's like visibly like shocked and like, oh my gosh, like this is amazing. I've never heard of this before. And I just said, like, why do you think God brought me here? Because he's obviously pursuing you, and he loves you, and he wants you to know him. And so he's like, I don't know, I'm not a spiritual person, although I did just have a little girl, and I think she might be like my guardian angel. And I was like, I don't know about that, but I really know that God loves you. He's pursuing you. And I just shared my heart and why I was in Japan, and he has a Japanese wife, and they own this coffee shop together. So I was able to speak a little bit into him, and he then goes and shares with the other people that were working there exactly what just happened, because he's like, this is cool. And so I left and came back multiple times just to continue the conversation and continue our relationship and meet his wife, who also works there. And I should advance the slide. That's him. His name is James, and his wife is Natsumi, and they are there in Northfield, so you can be praying for them. I really believe, I mean, obviously God is pursuing them. So I'm praying that the Lord will give me more opportunities when I return to continue to speak into their life and share the love of God with them. But the point of the story is, I didn't do anything except pray. God did the rest. I mean, I was like, well, maybe this is from God, and I obeyed as best as I could. But other than that, like, it was all the Lord, right? It was just the Lord, and I think the Lord longs for us to ask him about simple things. Where do you want me to go to eat tonight? Or I don't know. I think he just speaks more than we think that he will. So that is my encouragement. My first encouragement is that let's be intentional in prayer and with people. And, and this is the other part of the story. I one time brought this girl, Kanako, who's my friend, I introduced her to Northfields, the cafe, and I introduced her to James. And James then starts sharing with her about how James and I met. And he's telling her this story and starts talking to her about God. And I was like, I don't think he's a Christian. But he did say, I didn't believe in God until that interaction. He's not a Jesus follower yet as far as I know. But he's slowly making steps towards God, I believe. And I just thought it was cool that I was like, wow, is he about to like share the gospel with this girl? Like, it's a really cool cycle. So anyways, the second thing I would like to share is that making a meaningful, impactful presence requires being in community with God and people. And you might feel like, oh, well, duh. Like, you got to be with people to be present and helps if God's there. But 2 years after I finished language school, as I had said, I moved to Sendai. And I moved to Sendai on January 25th, 2020. And I've heard a few of you have moved in the middle of a pandemic or right before the pandemic. And it's hard because you don't know anyone. You don't have any friends. And so it was hard. My identity in my work as a missionary, and my worth was definitely questioned because I was like, I'm here to meet people. I'm spending all my time in my apartment. Even my teammates who were nearby, we could only Zoom for a few different reasons, but we really could only meet each other via Zoom, and so I didn't have any contact with anybody except when I would go to the grocery store, and they'd be trying to keep the toilet paper in stock, which is also a problem in Japan. I don't know. I guess it was a worldwide problem, this toilet paper shortage. But I was isolated, and I quickly began to see why. Scripture says it is not good for man to be alone, because we need people. We need each other. Yeah, we need to live in community, and I believe that that is the way that God designed us, and it's hard to make an impactful presence without being with people. And now, believe it or not, I am very much an introvert, and I can spend a week alone in my house with the best of them, and I would love it, and there's no problem there, but... And I do believe that God has designed us also to need silence and solitude at times. But, Jesus was also, would go off and be in solitude, you know? So there's obviously good things about that. But we still need to be with people. We were designed to live in community. And I mentioned the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in one God in three persons. I had one guy in Japan who was studying the Bible with us. He asked us, "What is the Trinity?" And we were like, "Ugh, it's a complicated concept." But that's what we believe. Jesus or God is three persons in one, and. That Jesus, through his death and resurrection on the cross, his death on the cross and his resurrection, he won the victory over sin and death. And we who have been separated from God have been brought together. And this community, which is the Trinity, which is the perfect community, we've been invited into that. Not just us, not just me, not just you, but people from every tribe and language and nation are invited to be part of this community. I had a friend who used to be an IW in the country of Jordan, and I remember talking with her one day while she was there, and she said this thing that really, I mean, it was simple, but it was beautiful, the way that she said it. She said, "My desire is just that I have these friends in Jordan, and my desire is to get them to meet my best friend, Jesus. And if they could just meet each other, they would love each other. I mean, obviously, Jesus already loves them, but if they could just meet Jesus, like, yeah." So that changed the way that I thought about it, because I was like, yeah, I don't know where I was going with that. But the point is, we are invited into this community as people to be part of this family of God. That is why, in Scripture we're referred to as the family of God, the body of Christ. We are many parts, but we need each other to make up the whole family of God. And what did living in safety or leaving safety and security and comfort of heaven look like for Jesus? The verse that immediately comes to mind for me is the verse that most of us, if you've heard the term incarnation, this is probably the verse that you think of. It's in John 1, verse 14. It says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." I know I'm jumping around to all sorts of different places in Scripture, but I think in this Scripture we see that Jesus was full of grace and truth. I don't know how you grew up, but chances are you're parents emphasize either more grace or more truth, or maybe one was more the emphasized more grace and the other one was more truth. And so, but it says Jesus was full of grace and truth. So I think that is how he desires for us to live. And by the power of his Spirit, I think we can grow in being more full of grace and truth. I don't know where God has called you. I mean, clearly you're here, so that's one place. But God might be calling you to a different job or a different place to live or a different country. This is where he's called you. Who knows? I don't know. There's different seasons. God calls us to different things in different places. But he's called you. We know he's called you. If you're in school, he's called you to the school that you're in. If you have a job right now, that's where you're called. You're probably in a family, and that's also part of where he's called you to be present. And so. I just want us to look at and consider, God, where are you calling me to be intentional about in prayer with people and by the power of the Spirit? I'm almost done jumping around the Bible here, but in John chapter 20, this was part of the passage that was read earlier, but these verses say that in John chapter 20, that after Jesus, this was after Jesus had been raised from the dead, he walks into the upper room and he's with his disciples and he says, "Peace be with you." Where was I? 21. Okay. Jesus says, "Peace be with you," in verse 21. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I don't know how to be present without the Holy Spirit, present in an impactful way without the Holy Spirit, I should say. But we see, and I believe that this scripture still apply, he was saying it to his disciples there, but I believe it applies to us now, today. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are a sent one, which means you are sent with a purpose, and that purpose is to make Jesus known and famous wherever you go. And so we are sent, it says. He says he sent us as the Father has sent him, which is pretty cool. And then also, he's given us the power of the Holy Spirit. So we have the gift of the Spirit, and so we do not walk alone. I asked this question before, and I'll ask again, like, where are you called? And if you don't know, if you're like, "Man, I don't know, it feels unclear," I'll just say what I said to the youth yesterday, like, just ask. He'll make it clear. And if you're like, "God doesn't seem to speak to me the way that he speaks to others," God can speak however he wants. Sometimes it's just through passions and talents, and that's how he leads us. I don't know. Sometimes it's through pictures, sometimes it's through words, and sometimes it's through the encouragement of other people. But are you listening? Are you asking? And then are you walking it out? And this, I'm preaching to myself right now too. Are you walking it out? Because it's really easy to ask, and then if you hear something or you're like, "I think he might be calling me to this, but that seems scary. I don't want to go." I've definitely done that before, many a times. And I always regret it because I'm like, man, I feel like God could have really done something amazing if I had just obeyed. And so, of course, the Lord, there's grace, but there is a joy in following the Lord even when it's scary. I will say that. And I'll end with a verse that we love in the Alliance. This is a verse that I hear often in Acts 1:8. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And please notice that it says and, not or. So God doesn't want us as his body to like all be in Jerusalem or all be in the same place. We're to spread out. So you all might be called to all these different places, meaning you might be called to stay right here and be present in your community right here. Or if God is calling you to go, like, not surprising, because he wants us to go to the ends of the earth, you know? So we are all going to be used by God no matter where we go, no matter where we are. There is no, I don't think one is better than the other necessarily. It's just, are we following the Lord? That's the point. And so we do not walk alone. The Holy Spirit is with us, and we can walk with intentionality in prayer and into the community and places where God has called us. In Matthew 24:14, it says, "And this gospel will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So we know that we call the Great Commission Fund the Great Commission Fund because in order for the Great Commission to be completed, we have to go to the places that have never heard. And in Japan, you saw that there's less than 1% of the people there know Jesus. And it's been like that for a very long time. And all I can say is, yeah, we need more people to go to the places where people have never heard. So would you ask the Lord where he's calling you? If this is the place and God's set you here, God has obviously, if you're here, set you here for a reason and for a purpose. But would you listen to what he might be calling you to in the future as well, and be willing to step out upon the waters, as we sang earlier. But thank you so much for having me, and I'm gonna pray, and I do hope that you will stay and ask whatever questions about cheese or or Japan that you have. It's been a privilege and honor to be here, and I'm really thankful. But I'm going to pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word and your mission, that is for your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I just pray right now for your kingdom to come through your people here, through this church, to Stanton and the surrounding communities. Would your kingdom come? Would your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, God? We thank you that you long to partner with us in ministry. You long to have a relationship with us and commune with us and talk with us and have us ask you, where are you working and where can I partner with you? God, thank you that you're full of grace and truth. And that your desire is that everyone knows your grace and your truth, and thus has eternal life. Lord, would you give us the boldness and the courage to share even just our testimony and how you have been working in us with the people around us who might not know you? And Lord, for those who might be feeling a stirring in their heart to maybe God's called me to something different or something, maybe God's calling me to go to a different country, to a different people. God, would you just clarify and by your Spirit, just lead. Lord, we thank you that you, if we go astray, you straighten us out. And so, Lord, would you just put us on your straight path and lead us. God, we thank you for your love for each one of us. But most of all, we just praise you for who you are. We worship you, God. We worship you for sending Jesus to die for us, for the world. And thank you for your love. God, I just, again, thank you for this this beautiful church filled with people who love you and have up their passion is to send people and to support people and to pray for people who are both in this serving in this community, but also around the world. God, would you bless them richly? And thank you again for the blessing of this weekend. And I pray for the rest of the missions week and for Todd and Debbie Adams. God, would you just anoint this week? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.